And I live at 15214 South Dixie Highway, and I've been here since 1935. And I originally came from Italy, born in Borgetto, Sicily.
Don't get too far, because you might not catch it.
Okay, my dad's name is Peter Liparato, and my mother's name is Frances Alito Liparato. My dad left Italy and came to Canada in 1911, and he stayed there for a while working with the railroad company. He later on came to America, United States, and he went to Pennsylvania. He had a job there working in a glass factory. So after accumulating money enough to send for his family, which was three boys and one girl and my mother, he sent for us, and we came here in 1914, and we landed in Pennsylvania where my dad lived. So after staying here a couple of years, I went to school there in a Catholic school, and it was Pennsylvania off, I can remember the hills there, and small boy, and just sliding down those hills. So then my dad had the notion of going, moving to California. So my mother had a sister in Michigan, and being that we was traveling, going to California, she thought it'd be a good idea to visit her before we were so far away. So after arriving in Monroe on February the 8th in 1916, and visiting my aunt, Mary Costello, they talked them into staying in Monroe. So making our home in Monroe, it was kind of tough learning how to talk English when you only know how to talk Italian. And going to school and getting along with other kids, it takes a while before you find your place among them. So we stuck it out and went and going to school. So I went to Lincoln School, and I was there until the sixth grade, and by that time I was 16 years old. And so I thought I was smart and quit, which I later on found out was a big mistake, that without an education you don't get far in this country. So we had a job in a paper factory, and this is where the education comes in. There's a lot of opportunities in there, and without education you don't fill the jobs, you're not going to get very far. So I've always pushed my children to get an education, and I believe it's the same for my grandchildren, because there's other jobs and opportunities, but without an education, you will not find your place in this world. So as time went on, I stuck it out, and I took a trip to California before the Depression, and we stayed there about a month visiting my wife's brother, which then we were good friends, and I didn't know my wife then.
But that's his friend's sister.
So later on we came back, and I didn't want to go back to working for the Consolidated. So we had a job working for the Walter Knapp when he was building a road near Milan Mish in Cone. So we stuck it out there for a while. But then those days I was seasonal work. So later on I figured I had to get a job someplace, so I went back to the Consolidated, which I didn't want to go back because in those days it was hard to get a promotion if you didn't know somebody, which a lot of them had friends and relatives and had a pull. So that's what made me quit the Consolidated in the first place and left. So then I figured there was no place else to go after knocking around for a couple of years. So finally I made up my mind to go back to Consolidated and work. So I went to see my foreman, and he gave me a job because he knew I was working for him before. And I told him when I quit that I was going away, I let him know. So he gave me a job. And then came the Depression, and they laid off a lot of people, and being the youngest man that I was hired, I was laid off. So a couple more years during the Depression, was knocking around, hard to get a job, hard to get food, anything that you wanted, you couldn't get.
So then, was that when you got married?
Oh, yeah.
No, you got married.
And in 1931, I got married. My wife's name is Lena. Her maiden name was Buccarella. So then, I don't know, I was working odd jobs that I could get here and there. So then, it's going back to where I got the job back to Consolidated. So then it was laid off over there and knocking around. So then the National Recovery Act went in when Franklin Roosevelt was elected in 1932. And this law became in effect in 1933. So I went to the Northside Consolidated and applied for a job. And they told me they would call me later. But being I wanted to work, I kept going back every now and then to remind him if he had forgotten me. So he finally put me to work on the 24th of July, and that's the day I got married, in 1931, the 24th of July.
That was our second anniversary.
So I stayed there till I retired, and I'm going back again about education. Later on, the union came in, which was able to exercise your seniority. But not having an education, other than good jobs came around, if you couldn't fill it, why, you'd have to stand by and let some other fella come in with an education and go ahead of you. That's why I strongly believe that kids should get an education, because that's the foundation of their life. And when you go to school and a teacher gives you hell, don't feel sorry for yourself because they're interested in you getting an education.
Like, what did you do for social life? You know, like, what did you used to do?
Well, I belong to the St. Joseph Church, and I've been an usher there. Gosh, I don't know.
Well, she means to when you were a child?
Yeah, yeah, when you were a child, or now.
Yeah, now he's an usher at St. Joseph's Church.
Well, I've been an usher.
What about the senior citizens you belong
yeah.
to?
Yeah, and then we used to have the Feast of the Madonna Rheumatel at St. Joseph Church, and I participated with other people. And finally, I was elected president for about 3 years and was in charge of this parade, that Italian parade, and the festival we had. And we used to hire a band from Detroit. And that's something that my father used to do when I was a child. And they used to have a band from Detroit, and they used to have Italian cookies and granolas.
And we used fireworks.
And we used to have fireworks. And boy, we used to draw everybody in town down East End.
That was one of the big things for the Italian people in those days, big festival.
I belong to the Holy Name Society, St. Joseph,
and I've been on the,
and I belong to the Talbardi Society, and I belong to Christopher Columbus Society, and I, and I was an usher, I'm still an usher for St. Joseph Church, and I've been an usher for better than 30 years or more that I can remember. And now I participate with home. And along with senior citizen, we take trips, and we go back to school and learn little different things there that
we
kind of miss out. And you meet a lot of the old friends that you kind of got lost when there were different jobs. And it seems like the friend that you lost after leaving school, they seem to congregate back at the senior citizen.
Yeah, you meet a lot of them that you met.
And you'd be surprised that when you leave high school, with all the kids you thought you knew, every kid in town. But once you leave school, it seems like they all go in different directions in this world, and you lose track of all of them. And some of you stop and think, where are all your friends when you was in high school? And when you get to be an older senior citizen, it seems like everybody comes home to roost, and you meet them as seniors, and you meet them, and they tell you where they worked and where they have. And you'd be surprised that the same kids you went to school with, who later on became a lawyer, a doctor, or a judge, or a businessman, you'll meet the same group again at the senior citizen.
What kind of classes do you take down there?
Senior
I take the
and
movies
law.
And the
movie literature.
And the law and senior citizen and mechanic and
you take three and then
just the three I take.
And I take typing and rapid writing. And movie literature and the mechanic class.
Yeah, she's learning how to type.
Yeah. How long were you two going together before you got married?
Well, we couldn't go together. We weren't allowed to go out we were engaged like that. See, because he was a friend to my brother, and then he asked my mother. His father had to come and ask my mother, you know, if we could. Get married.
You didn't date?
Never went out. Never allowed alone. And so his father came over, and so my mother said she would talk to me and let them know. So then my mother told him to come the following Sunday. So the following Sunday when they came, my mother said, she had talked to me and said, you know, he seems to be a nice fellow and all that. I mean, so said okay. So then they set the date of when we could get engaged, you know. So then they brought me a ring and a watch for the engagement. So then of course both families couldn't afford a wedding, you know, much of a wedding. We did have a nice gathering, family gathering for the engagement. And so Then we got married the 24th of July, and but we didn't have any
honeymoons,
any doing it, no. But when we went to the show, my whole family had to go with us.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother would sit between us even in the show. You know.
And they took her for riding the car.
My
mother-in-law sat in the middle.
My mother always sat in the middle.
Did you reach over to kiss her?
No.
We went to the show.
Yeah.
She sat in the middle.
My mother sat in the middle.
And if I took her out anywhere, I had to take one of her brothers or sisters along.
Yeah, the whole family would go.
The whole family.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed even to go to the store by myself.
Oh.
Nowhere, you know.
Kiss her, we couldn't even hold hands. One time, though, I kissed and hugged her, and my mother-in-law told me about it afterwards, and we couldn't figure how she found out. And later on, we come to find out the baby of the family,
sister,
the one
was only about
least,
5 years old, and she told.
The least one you suspected was the one that told her about it.
She went and told my mother. After that boy, it was really more strict. There was nobody out of the room when he was there. But the recreation, as far as when we were kids, even there was either playing ball with the kids, and you know, or a lot of them skated. But Jews just mostly played ball.
Well,
made your own scooters in them days, you know. Mm-hmm. With a skate, you made your scooters.
Yeah.
And
go get a nice big stick and get a tin can. And
they
used to play. Be a game, used to play like shinya, like what they play hockey.
Yeah.
See?
Okay, yeah.
Well, the holidays is something we always got together. The father and mother, children, daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws. And we always get together, in those days it was pretty hard for a father and mother to do everything. So the children all brought what part that they could, and we put it together and celebrated. We had Italian sausage and
midnight mass.
And
that was to midnight mass at Christmas.
Yeah.
Then we'd have come back, like Kim knows, we used to make sausage and salad. Mm-hmm. And
play cards.
That we'd have a midnight supper, you might as well say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
we played cards all night.
Sometimes we never went to bed. We'd stay up all night long. Yeah.
When you were smaller, did you used to get presents? Like, what kind of presents
No.
did you get? No presents
there was
at
no
all?
Gifts.
I remember when I was a kid, and everybody used to tell us about Santa Claus. And we used to see Santa Claus go by on the street delivering presents. I kept wondering when he's going to stop here. Christmas came and went, and Santa Claus never stopped. Never realized later on that Santa Claus was your own father, and he couldn't afford to give her the present, which he saw that the father going to the store and bought and were delivered by Santa Claus, which made the kids happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine our disappointment. Of course, we couldn't blame our dad and mother. They weren't making much money. My dad had 7 children, and he was trying to pay for a home. And in those days, being not having an education, my dad either, he worked for Inglefitz Nursery, and it was just like farm labor, and they never got money. But being underworking like that, he still bought a home and raised 7 children. So,
it's remarkable.
Yeah.
How was your Easter spent?
Our Easters were the same. Church activities was the main thing. And Grandma always baked, and my mother always baked, and his mother used to bake cookies. That was the main, you know, and then it was always family dinners that was the main getting together.
It's the most important
right.
part.
Right, and families always getting together, you know, relatives like
that. We used to have pizza at home my mothers used to make before they ever came out in the time was so hard and things to get. We used to buy, like, my dad always used to buy maybe 200 or 300 pounds of flour in those days. Amon Milling Company used to deliver flour to all these people by the 100-pound bags.
Do you remember how much it was?
No, I don't.
Nope.
And, maybe $4 or $5, you know. I mean, in those days it cost much for 100 pounds. And
everybody made their own bread.
They used to make their own bread.
Never bought
bread. They used to make their own macaroni,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah.
And my mother always had, when she made bread, she would get some dough and lay it on the side to make pizza.
Pizza.
We used to have our pizza before pizza parlors ever was known.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of times she used to get some.
We didn't know what pizza was in anywhere. I mean, it was only you made at home.
She used to get some dough and maybe kind of spread it out, and we used to make like fried dough.
Mm-hmm.
Fried.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we
made,
like
fried cakes.
We was going to make it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we were going to make it for when your mom and dad came from church.
Yeah, but they went over your plate.
They didn't come.
So then she took the dough, made pizza, and we ate the pizza ourselves.
Yeah.
And then come. So they went over your place. And in those days, mostly if you had yourself a coal, you got your coal for the winter,
mm-hmm.
and you got maybe about 300 or 400 pounds of flour, depends what you think you could use for the winter. And you used to buy maybe about 4 or 5 cans of oil.
Yeah,
in those days, you used to sell it in 5 gallon cans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We used to buy the oil in 5 gallon cans. And then we used to get maybe a good round of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to take us out through the winter. And mm-hmm. a lot of the things that my mother used to
you
can.
You have to can.
She used to can
her
sauce.
You can everything.
Buy can
make
her
your
sauce.
Make your own sauce.
Can her fruit.
Beans.
Never knew what it was to go to the store to buy that kind of stuff.
No, you
mm-hmm.
didn't.
You had to help yourself because in those days you didn't have the money.
Not only that, they didn't sell fresh vegetables in those days in the store.
No, yeah, I know
no.
that too.
Yeah.
You know? But even that, you had to help yourself. And we used
mm-hmm.
to make our own
mm-hmm.
sauce. Now this paste, tomato paste, they used to get it and boil it. Well, my wife was making that for a good while. Then finally gave it up.
Mm-hmm.
Being I was working and making money, we could afford it, see? But they used to get that sauce and strain it, and used to put it in a great big bowl and spread it out into the sun and let it dry. Then put it in a big jar and kind of a little oil on top, kind of
mm-hmm.
keep it moist the top. And whenever they cook, they go get a couple spoons of that.
Use it for tomato paste.
Mm-hmm. What was your life like as far as household chores? Like what was the
had
women
to, when you were a child and then once you were married, what was your household
well,
daily duties
in
like?
In our family, we were 5 girls and 4 boys, 9 of us, and my mother and father.
He was the oldest.
And I was the oldest
the
girl.
Girls.
Mm-hmm. So we had a lot, and everything had to be washed and ironed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything. Although my mother did get one of the old first wash machines that did come out, and I think that my mother and dad was the first. Though those two refrigerators that came in to Monroe, and we got the first one of them, and Hosman's
the
got
top,
the second.
The coil was on top.
Hosman's,
was the
Mr. Hosman ran the store. They
Street.
Got one, and he got one for us. We were the first ones to get it, and that was with the top coil years ago. And then
you see for just sitting in the corner with the coil on top, and that's the kind.
We had, in those days, all the shirts, nothing was wash and wear. Everything was, you know, you had wash and starch, everything, you know, and iron them and everything. And so with the boys, five, my brothers and my father, and the most that they ever wore was white shirts. It was always white shirts. You know, they didn't have much in colored shirts. And plus, all our dresses were cotton. Everything
mm-hmm.
had to be ironed. There were no slacks in those days. There were no blouses and stuff like that. It was just always dresses. So everything had to be ironed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I was getting older, of course, I never got to go to school on Monday. Because Monday was wash day. And when I came home from school on Tuesday, the ironing board was there ready for me to start ironing. And so you would iron maybe all time till it was time to eat, and then I'd iron till it was time to go to bed. You know,
mm-hmm.
it was ironing nearly every day that you came home. Because you had to wash more often. You couldn't wait for the end of the week and do the wash because
yeah.
it was so much. So there was always washing and ironing going on, you know. Plus cleaning and everything else.
Yeah.
Well, when I was 12 years old, I was taken out of school, being that I had to stay home so much to help my mother that the tune officer would come and say, well, how come you're not in school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I'd have to help my mother get all the children off to school, and I'd go to school late. And that made you feel bad walking in
yeah.
the classroom late like that, but my mother thought, well, they should be happy that you're getting to go. You know, she didn't realize maybe that I felt bad that I wasn't getting there on time, you know.
Yeah.
So when I was 12, then I was taken out of school
mm-hmm.
to help the family, see.
Mm.
So then, like I say, when I was Then you used to come over when with my brother. Of course, there was nothing until I was 16, and then or 17. 17 when, you know, we met.
How old were you when you were engaged?
I was 17. I was married when I was 17.
18, you were married when 18?
No, Bill was born when I was 18.
How were you affected by prohibition? Were you, you know, did you really care?
Household
no, I never been a drinking man. It didn't bother me either way.
No.
I mean, no.
In those days, it was tuition. It was more bootlegging than them days.
Yeah.
In those days, it was everybody, you know, was bootlegging and.
Well, I remember.
But then later, when that passed, then it didn't make any difference because.
Didn't really matter.
In our family,
huh?
They never drank. You know, that what much.
Well, I remember as a kid when the saloons were open, I was small, I used to, you know, walk by them because there was a saloon half a block away from us.
Yeah.
See, there used to be a saloon on the corner of East Chester and First.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go by there to see people, but I was too small to realize
what it was.
The impact of it. Mm-hmm. Then I guess I don't remember what year it went dry, and that's when the prohibition came in.
Yeah. And then, that had no effect on our families because. Two, you were allowed to make your own wine, and our parents made their own wine. Because wine was the most thing that they drank at a meal. You know, when they had their meal, they drank or came from work, they'd have a little glass of wine or something like that.
We'd make our own beer.
And later on, then make your own beer.
You was allowed to make your own beer.
Mm-hmm. So.
Were you ever involved in gangs or anything like that?
Mm-mm. No.
No?
No.
Mm-hmm. How could I have been working on consolidating?
Too busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it,
Yeah, I've been consolidated the most part of my life. I started when I was 16 years old, after I got out of school. And in those days, they used to walk through the mill, and they used to ask if you wanted to work. They had no employment down in those days. The foreman used to hire his own men.
When you were 16, you quit school and you went right to work.
You went to work. Of course, you had to go to school at 16 as law.
Mm-hmm. Bought our first television in 1950 when Bill graduated. That's when
that was when they first came around?
That was when they first coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So we got...
What about radios?
Oh, radios we had.
And we still have our first television downstairs.
We kept having, what was it?
The radios.
We always had radio because we used to listen to the stories on the radios, you know, the mummers and, ghost stories like that,
yeah.
You know. They'd say, turn out your lights, and they'd tell, you know, the little ghosty stories, and we'd listen to them when we'd go. And the kids, we'd all sit around. But main thing was, in those days, the girls had the embroidery. At night, when you didn't have nothing to do, if you got done with your homework, then you had to sit and do embroidery. You had to figure you had to start doing for your trousseau, you know.
Yeah.
Start making stuff for your trousseau.
Which is what, like a chest or something?
Like make little scarves or pillows or different things for you to have, you know, for when you got married.
Did you like the television a lot? Did you like to listen more to the radio than you did like watching the television when you first got it?
Well, that was something new, you know.
Yeah, then we enjoyed it, you know. We enjoyed
everything it came on to.
Yeah.
Or today everything is boring because you see so much of it, you know. And
you
can almost tell them what they're going to do. A lot of times I even say the words before they say them. My wife and them say, well, keeps up, we don't enjoy the show. You can almost read their mind and what they're going to act and what they're going to say.
But we do enjoy the radio yet.
A lot of times they say, did you see that before? No, it's the first time I've seen it. But you know, be able to tell what they're going to do or say.
Do you listen to the radio a lot though now?
Yeah, we do.
That was only entertainment we had.
Well, no, now even we do.
Oh, even now,
I love to listen to the radio.
For a while.
Because you can go around doing things and still listen to the radio, where the TV, you have to stay right there.
And watch it.
And we never turn it on during the day till way later in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I don't like to just sit and watch TV.
I don't like to listen to
then you
see
don't,
the news.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. then you don't get nothing done otherwise.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it's, there's a lot of things that, We just were different in those days. Mm-hmm. Like the family gatherings were the main events of the, like on Sundays our relatives would come from Detroit and we'd be together, or we would go to their house and we'd have nice dinner. They play music and we dance.
Today,
we would dance right at home among ourselves, you know. And that was the most fun, when your relatives all came over and we'd all get together.
My grandpa said it's so, the family's so split nowadays.
It is. Everybody's got a car and they're independent. They got a few dollars. But in those days, they used to get together and used to kind of have these parties together because you used to bring
it. It was more of a Sunday afternoon getting together.
And people
used to know each other. What today, even cousins don't even know each other.
They're not close knit anymore.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It was just like I say, most everything was around the family. Or if there was a friend had a wedding, or then the family went to the wedding. That was one of the great events, you know. I mean, if you got to go to the wedding. And
in those days, the weddings were in the house.
At the home. There were no hall
weddings. There were no halls or something like that.
No, because you never heard of a hall wedding. It was a home reception, you know?
Most of us invited most of the relatives and friends, close friends.
Close
so
friends.
In other words, it was something like that.
So most of the weddings were like in the home. They weren't in an outside.
When somebody passed away in those days, the body was brought home.
They
never thought of going to the...
No, well, they never took them to the
funeral party.
No.
Did they show them in the window light?
No, you'd move all your furniture out, and they'd put them in the living room, and then the people would come, and you'd get chairs from the funeral home, and then they, come and see them, come through the house and see them like that. Yeah.
How was your government run when you were smaller? Do you remember? Or even when you were younger, when you first married?
We really didn't pay too much attention to
politics.
You know, when Roosevelt got in, from that, when Hoover, we knew we had depression. And how come, you know, we heard depression and Hoover, them two were kind of linked together. And then when Roosevelt got in, it seemed like it was going to be helping us out, you know. And
well, in the early days in politics, they used to say that you couldn't, break the city hall. And if people went up, if you knew somebody, they used to take care of it. If they didn't, they'd act dumb. You didn't know the law, so they'd tell you anything, and you'd go away, and you had nobody to go to in which to help you to go and see the man that turned you down. Uh-huh. And especially in those days, a lot of different nationalities didn't have anybody up there that would
represent them.
Or interpret it for
you. There were Italian people and different
nationalities.
Nationalities
in those days, I believe most of the people in office were Frenchmen or Irishmen. And they used to be surprised how that friction used to go around. Mm-hmm. They would hold it because some of those people held themselves because they were in an office, they had a little education, and a lot of times they used to look down on people. That's why that I really aim for education. If people have got to know what's going on, know their laws, and when they go and approach a person for something, make sure that they know something about it. And when the man talks to him, he can find out if he's telling the truth or not. And when he's talking to a man and knows something, the man will think twice before he answers. Where in those days, he just did as he pleased. The law was on his side, and he used to hold a tongue in his hand like a man had a whip in his hand.
Wow.
She's got on here too.
First car.
Were we married when you got the car? We were married when we bought a Model T.
Oh, God.
We was the only one in the family had a car, and boy, that was like, you know, that was a luxury. And then we had it parked out on the street because we didn't have no garages in them days. They didn't have garages, and we had it parked so a storm came, and the wind was blowing and it was raining, and we was looking out the window, and here goes the car right down the road. Went down past the auto equipment.
We were living on First Street. Well, just two doors away where the new fire station built there.
So it went right across Conant and right down, and a guy ran out from the work and he saw the from the auto equipment, and he ran over and stopped it.
I thought it sure was going on to Consolidated. You know that, which one to Consolidated? Out with that storm, you couldn't go out there and stop. Yeah. I slowed my poor little car.
But it was okay. Nobody, you know, if a car would have came from Kona, as it was going by, it would have been wrecked. But that was our first
time. No danger. Wasn't that much traffic?
No.
Not enough people own cars.
Yeah. And streetcars, we saw streetcars when we lived in Detroit as kids, but Monroe, I don't remember the streetcars.
Well, they had the streetcars.
Yeah, they had streetcars, too. Well, there used to be a streetcar went through here to Toledo, but that was before we moved here.
Oh, yeah. This is a streetcar line, Detroit-Toledo shoreline, and you take a town where corner where the Sears rule book is. That used to be the station. We used to buy your tickets. You know, get the bus. Get to the streetcar.
And it'll go right down
it's
the
right,
bus.
You know, you know, right behind where the big boy, Elias Brothers is? There's a big brick building back in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the garage.
That was used to be the garage.
Where the bank is built now, used to be a streetcar track. Used to go into the barn.
Right into that back in there.
Repair work.
Oh,
where the,
yeah.
Where the farmer's market is back in there.
I think in school there was one brick building there. That's all it was, because in those days there weren't many children around there. And then it's more, it was just like an old country schoolhouse, a red school building with a bell on top. And later on, while there's more children were coming in, well, then they started building homes for classes, and they would just spread it out in the Lincoln School. And in fact, two of them homes were on 8th Street off of between Conant and Elmira today. The people that bought them, when they took them out of there, that they were going to build the present school now, which later on they added more than what they did in those days. And St. Joseph Church wasn't there in those days. There used to be a cigar factory.
And they bought it and used it as a church.
A group of Italian people got together, and at that time, I think it was, they got a hold of Michael Perini. He used to live uptown. And he was a little known in town. He used to know people. You see, he always had to go to somebody to talk to the third party in order to get you, because he was educated, and he knew a few people uptown. And naturally, you know, when you ask somebody and they know it, you may say no to some people, but you don't say no to everybody. And they got together, and they bought that factory, and we used to have
that's
our
where they
church
established
down there.
The church. And then they in the back part, they had St. Joseph's School then, you know, in the back part. And then later on, it burned, didn't it? It burned, and then they tore the rest of it down and built the new school. And at first, our priest used to stay at the mother house at the academy, because we didn't have a place for the father to live. And then later on, when they built the
present
house that we have now there. And then later on, they built the school, St. Joseph's School, and they built the hall. But now we need a new hall.
That just about does it. And I thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to say? Any last things?
No, we thank God that my dad brought us to America. That's one thing we owe him. We'd have been over there suffering with the rest of them. And there's a lot of things we do.
You have a lot of cousins that have come from Italy in the last 8 years, 8 or 9 years. We have a lot of cousins that have come from Italy and are here, and they don't want to go back either.
No.
You know, they're happy to be here. Yeah, they're glad to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.